You want to bring it back in, Greg?
Mm-hmm. You do it.
Sure?
Yeah. I like it when you do it. I do it once in a great while. I did it that last show.
Well, because I usually, both of you guys really hate how I do it.
Well, you just never do it. You never do it well or correctly.
Well, what is correctly or well?
Just do it, and we'll tell you if you did it well or if you did it correctly.
Yeah, okay. We'll tell you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pressure, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
Here we go. Can you cue the opening music, please?
There is no opening music. It's already played.
Three, yeah. Two, one.
Oh, God.
He's already ruined it.
You can't count yourself in.
That's
the problem. You have to do two is silent and one is silent.
And the music has already finished.
Yeah, but I want you to put in the music comes in, but
I'm not putting another bed of
music. The show is already on.
Yeah, you got to put something else. Something else has got to tee up. If you're going to do it right and well, there's got to be something else.
Okay, look. Boom.
Robert, don't do that. You're not Bobby McFerrin.
Come on, I'm trying to help him.
Don't play your. Don't play.
All right, fine. Then just do it. Go.
Three.
No.
You.
What's this tapping?
Why are you tapping on the table?
And why are you pointing at me?
Because do the.
You want me to start?
Five, four, three.
You pointed at me.
Bump-a-dump.
Welcome to the Shide Show.
No, you're supposed to be the beatbox.
Beatbox.
But he told me not to do the Bobby McFerrin.
It's already happened.
It's done.
What you don't realize is. The people that are listening have already heard that song. That's the first thing that when you press play on that thing, the play recorder thing that says wait while content is loading, that first thing that happens, it goes, bam, 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 and that's the song. That's already happened. We're now in the show, Brian.
So introduce
it.
Said show.
Now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Shide Show.
Yeah.
There it is.
Wow.
My name is Brian Gerard. I don't, if there's a...
What? It,
and then...
Are you having a stroke? What is going on?
I'd like
on?
To introduce our guest
Wait,
today.
What about,
wait, what about who's on the show with you?
Who's next
Brian,
to you?
Who are your co-hosts?
Frankly...
What?
I don't give a damn.
Okay, so you're quoting Gone with the Wind now?
Just so you know, right, if you want to know if you screwed this intro up, you have.
You have. This was not done correctly or well.
Correct.
Okay. So, let's go back to one.
No. And across... next to you is Gregory Hoyt.
Good evening, ladies.
And I am Robert Scheid. Hello.
Hello,
and we have
Robert.
A special guest.
Hello, Robert. Hello, Gregory. We have a special guest today.
We do.
Coming back for yet another...
Number two?
...adventure. Yes. It's been a month or so.
Yeah.
Maybe
have
more.
Have you missed us?
Yeah.
It's Carl Nakano.
All the way from Hawaii.
Yeah.
That's right. Carl, you grew up on Hawaii. You grew up on Maui, didn't
yes.
you?
Yes.
Lucky
yes.
bastard.
That had to be an experience.
Well, it wasn't then because we didn't know it was an experience.
Yeah, I mean, that is very... Yeah. That's true. But you said that you used to play a game in Old Lahaina in the street.
Oh, yeah.
What was that game? What was that?
My cousin and I were always amazed. You know, we'd Lahaina was a really sleepy town.
Yeah.
And my cousin lived there, so... She was to prove to me about how bad it was there.
Yeah,
we'd go out in front of her house where the front street is.
Yeah, and that was the main street.
Yes.
Through Lahaina.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
and so we lay down on it and see how long it would take for us to have to get up.
That's great.
And that's smart. Okay, and how long? How long did it have to go? Did you?
We actually, I think it was like 5-6 minutes.
Wow.
And then we went. Oh, okay.
Got to get up. And
now we got to get up.
Yeah.
And that's like, and in Maui, like that was the main road that gets you around on that side of the island.
Yeah,
is that
at that
right?
point, that was the only main road in Lahaina.
Mm, man,
at that point.
So you didn't know how good you had it.
The island life.
Island life, living in Hawaii.
No, we just really wanted to see a city.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
So that was the big dream as a kid, to get off of the island, or to get to the main island, or to do what?
Well, you know, once we had television.
Yeah.
When I think it happened when I was in the third or fifth grade.
Okay.
And I'd watch stuff like Disney.
Yeah.
I saw Disneyland.
Oh, man. Oh,
saw elevators.
Oh, forget it.
Saw all that
stuff. Sorry, you saw elevators? So you were like elevators in Disneyland. Those are two things.
They're on par with each other. I'm going to ride Space Mountain. I'm going to ride an elevator.
And an escalator.
Wow.
An escalator was
so
like,
everything
wow.
So everything was flat, one level. Or you had stairs.
Yeah.
Hmm. How boring.
Boring.
Yeah.
The hospital, I think, had an elevator, but I didn't know that until I was a little bit older.
You stayed away from the hospital for a while.
Oh, yeah. I never had to go. So.
Grass is always greener on the other side of the fence, isn't it, Carl?
Now we got elevators everywhere. Escalators. Yeah. I've got an escalator in my apartment.
All I want is to get to Hawaii. That's all I want my whole life.
That's a funny thing.
It's true.
And end up on Hawaii.
I always tell Greg that I feel like he's going to go to Hawaii and we're never going to see him again.
Yeah, I've never been.
Never been.
Never been.
You should have accepted the invitation. I went.
You did a couple years ago.
I went and spent a little time. Carl was kind enough to invite me out there. It was amazing.
I met my mother and my family and everybody.
Yeah. It was great. It was great. Now, that's a really interesting experience. Now, living out on the island, you also had to deal with other certain things. I'm not sure if you ever did in your lifetime, but I think your mother had to. But, you know, like the tsunami stuff.
No, I remember that.
So you experienced that?
I never was
or
in one.
Yeah.
But there was sirens. Well, the men heard the sirens.
Wow.
You knew you weren't supposed to go by the beach. And my aunt who took over my grandmother's fish market was right on Front Street. And if you've ever been to Maui, you know Front Street is the main street. You know there's a bunch of restaurants that go over the ocean.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Front Street in that area in Maui, just so the people who are listening who haven't been there, it is like that is sort of the main strip. There are a bunch of restaurants that overlook the water.
That go
you can watch
over the
sunset.
Water.
Yeah,
they go out over the water.
Yeah.
The water.
So there was a fish market there.
Yeah, and
is
my
that right?
grandmother used to run a fish market.
Okay.
And I loved going there because I could see the ocean go under the house.
Wow
that's awesome.
Know, and watch the crabs and all that stuff. So,
man. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Greg now really wants to go. So so what happened with this tsunami?
They would have to get out immediately.
Yeah, because they would get lit up.
You could probably see the water receding from under the house.
Yeah, only once did I see that because in order to go to my school, I had to, you know, well, Hawaii is all the – pretty much you can't get by the ocean. And I had to pass the ocean strip. And one day there was a tsunami warning, but this is a great time to go to school. And as I was driving, I just saw the water recede.
Wow.
That's incredible.
Yeah. That's spooky.
Yeah. Man. And there are some crazy people. I mean,
They go out there.
Yeah, there was a couple of people that ran out there and tried to grab some fish before the wave came back in.
Oh, that's
insane.
What
are these psychopaths?
I know. Because those waves can sometimes be small. They look smaller, but they are just... so much power behind them, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I never actually stayed and watched one come in.
So. Well,
good idea.
Carl, what made you eventually leave the island?
Like I said,
the city.
Couldn't wait to see, watching TV, watching movies. Couldn't wait to see a city.
Did you come straight to California?
Yeah, because you had to. You landed in L.A.
Okay.
And I came with my cousin. It was the same age. In fact, the girl that used to lie on the road with me.
Yeah.
we came and came to L.A. My brother was living here and her sister was living here.
Huh.
Gotcha.
And we would see something. We'd look at each other and say, just like the movies.
No wow, way. That is great. Yeah. So you experienced it together.
Like, just like the movies.
And you love the movies. You know, like, every movie.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what we did.
Yeah.
I mean, actually went to the beach a lot, but as far as sitting down and watching stuff, it was the movies.
Yeah.
You know, kiddie matinees, that's how I started.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you have like an sort of an encyclopedic knowledge of like actors and movies and stuff. I know that Scotty always is asking you, like, what's that actor? And you'll go, and then you have
My sister. My sister was movie crazy.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. She used to actually write to Hollywood and get photograph pictures.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's neat.
And she used to send it back and...
That's cool.
Yes. We used to get a lot of Roy Rogers and Dale Evans because once you wrote to them, they never stopped sending them.
Really?
They just kept sending them. You're on a list.
Yeah.
You're on a list with the signed headshots.
So then you started working for the movies.
Yeah. And that was like the whole movie experience to me was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
You worked for Hanna-Barbera, didn't you?
Yeah, when I first got here.
That's so awesome.
I didn't know what to do. You know, I taught for 2 years and I thought... Then they made me an advisor. So kids would come by and say, how do I know I can make a living at this? And
as an artist?
Yeah. And I thought, I can't tell you.
You're just telling kids, I don't know.
I don't know.
You're the worst advisor ever.
I know. I said, you know, I don't
become
know.
Become a teacher, but don't you dare take my
that's,
job.
That's the only thing I know. So I felt really inadequate, and I don't know why they did that after 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, and then I started to notice that the teachers there were really happy and happily married and everything, but then one a big Larry Rivers. Now was it Larry Rivers? Somebody like that. Big New York artist came for a artist in resident lecture. Uh-huh. And he came in with this mink coat and with two young model-type women.
Jesus.
Awesome.
And most of the factory, at least three-quarters of them, just couldn't stand him.
They were furious.
Yeah, and I was anxious to meet him because he's a hero, and I wanted to see what the real New York art scene was like. So to me, it was a learning experience. Mm-hmm. But for them, it was like...
Who's this uppity guy?
Who's this guy who made it? He must have had some in. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of jealousy.
Jealousy. Do you think he's sell out and all jealousy. That stuff?
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. And I went, I don't want to be like this if I stay here.
Mm. And where was that? That was in Colorado?
Colorado State University.
Colorado State University, that's mm-hmm. right. But then, so is that when you went to California to do animation, or was that?
No, after that, yeah. Then I came to.
You were like, I got to get out of here.
Yeah, I thought.
That was smart.
Oh, also, the other artists there always complained we had shows, and they always say, who's going to see this? I mean, besides.
You know, the locals.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And you're not after have hearing any everybody complain every time we had a show and seeing all this, I said, well, I'm going to move.
Yeah. Well, that's a smart move. And so what did you draw at Hanna-Barbera? What did you work on?
I worked on Godzuki.
Which is the baby Godzilla, right?
Oh,
that is awesome. That is so awesome. Godzuki.
And they gave you all these sheets and the sizes. And I was an in-betweener. I was learning to be an in-betweener.
Wow.
Man, that's incredible. Was fascinating to me. Yeah. Learning how animation is done was fascinating to me.
Yeah.
But so cool.
Doing the actual work.
Not
was
so fast.
Not so,
yeah, just in-betweener. But also I realized you had to be an in-betweener to be a regular animator.
Yeah.
Because there was no way. These animators come in, they would say, I need this many frames for him to do this and do that.
Wow.
And I thought, how do you know that?
How do they?
I don't
just
know.
Experience.
It's experience. You know, that's incredible.
They know, they know what the main drawings are and how many in-betweens they need for each one. They'll tell you.
Oh, wow.
On a sheet.
So the in-betweens are just the motion in between frames.
Yeah.
And so they'll go in and they will draw the main frames
and
say what you need to fill.
Right. And then we just do the in-betweens.
And your character, and that's the other thing too, because you're not doing anything original. You are continuing their work, right?
Yeah. But it was interesting learning. But after I learned, then it got like, wow.
Again, you were ready to leave.
Because I wasn't suited for it. Because I was not like a quick sketcher. You know, there's some people who are fabulous, like Toulouse-Lautrec, who could sketch people really quick and get the essence.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of somebody who was really good at getting detail.
Mm-hmm.
And so speaking of detail, you have some pictures around here.
Oh.
You somehow landed in the world of food, drawing food,
yeah, that
right?
was a complete accident, yeah.
What was that?
How is that an accident? How is it an accident that you end up fucking drawing really awesome food?
Did you draw like a person holding an apple and they're like, that's an amazing apple?
They're like, what about the person?
No, I love the apple.
I always wanted to figure stuff.
Yeah.
And I made a portfolio and then I started to get work in food. And I had skills for it because, I could do complex stuff. And I could do...
Detail?
I could do detail. And then really, at the time, there's no computers.
Uh-huh.
So I wanted to make an apple look delicious.
Yeah.
And so I could copy the texture, I could make it redder, and I could put little dewdrops on it.
Oh, wow.
All that detail work, which they couldn't do at the time because they didn't have Photoshop.
Yeah.
You know.
Pre-Photoshop, man.
Yeah. And that's what I saw. I thought, my skill, I can do this.
Yeah.
And you did all the Knott's Berry fruits.
Yeah.
Right?
Their jams and jellies.
The jams and jellies.
Wow.
And I did a lot of stuff for them for a while. Yeah.
That's so cool. That's iconic.
But that's what happened.
Yeah. You were drawing shit that I was seeing as a kid.
Yes.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
In grocery stores.
Yeah. That's really weird. In a cool way. Yeah. Like, I'm not scared of you right now.
You're freaking out. Totally freaking out. But then you went on to start doing movie posters.
The movie posters were something I would really have loved to do.
Mm-hmm.
But the movie posters that I did was just because my partner in life was an actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And eventually,
so you had a connection to that business.
And eventually they would come in and see it and say, oh, you could do this.
Mm-hmm.
Or I would do I did a lot of pre-production stuff.
Yeah.
Like storyboards and stuff?
Well, I did storyboards too. Yeah. But I did promotion. When they were selling it to someone, they needed
some
visual
promotion.
Aids.
Oh, yeah. It's so wild.
So I did a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So like you drew the Police Academy poster. Is that right?
No, I didn't do it. I did Savannah Smiles.
You did Savannah Smiles. That's what it was.
Right. And
that's
I did
so cool.
a lot of Shelley Duvall stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. I love her.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, she's great.
She seems like a rascal.
Yeah, she's off the wall.
That's what I'm talking about.
But really sweet.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you still Can you still do that movie poster stuff? Like if someone came to commission you to do something like that?
Yeah. But, you know, people do it pretty much by Photoshop, take photographs.
Yeah. Yeah. Or they like they'll do
compilations.
That. And they also make it, they take a photo and make it look like it was drawn.
Yeah, they can do that now.
It's a lot cheaper.
You can do that as an app.
Yeah. Throw on your iPhone. Exactly. Right. I know. I know.
Yeah. Any commercial art, it's time. They want it quick. They want it yesterday.
They just want it fat. Yeah.
Well, plus, so, you know, when you're doing your art, when you were drawing it, they call you and ask for changes.
Yeah.
I mean, if they do that in the Photoshop world, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
But for drawing, do you have to start over from scratch, or are you able to do, like, little patchwork?
Well, usually not. Usually they have minor
adjustments. Stuff
because they know.
They know how long it's going to take.
Yeah.
Wow. So they're less apt to actually ask for changes knowing how long it's going to take.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the really smart ones give you a deadline where they know they will have time to do that.
Gotcha. I see.
And like anything, I think in all kinds of life, the people who are, the bigger they are, the more prepared they are.
Mm. Yeah.
They, you know, when I worked for big companies, they sent me references and real specific as to what to want. So there's no mistake if you work for a really small company, they give you a sketch that looks like somebody drew it in their living room.
And then they go crazy for 3 months while you're like, they're like, not that, and wondering why, wondering why the idea wasn't conveyed, like the organization was, just wasn't there.
I never had that problem.
Have you ever had like a nightmare job, like a nightmare, like one of the, these drawing jobs go really bad?
It seems like most of the time it is a nightmare.
Oh, no. Sounds like a blast.
Make sure you meet the deadline. And usually, a lot of times for the food, Michigan, Battle Creek, all that, Chicago and New York are the big markets for food.
Wow.
So I usually have to finish it at a place where I can send it in.
Time-wise. And get to them.
Right.
Now, you were telling me something I thought was really fascinating, and it was how you had a friend back in art school.
Right.
And you decided to go this path of because food became an option, even though you wanted to do life drawing, right? And your friend decided to not, you know, he went a different route. He decided to go a route where he was doing his own thing, but he wasn't getting paid.
It's the idea of pursuing
something where you're going to get paid guaranteed, which is what you did.
Right.
And then what he did, which was, there was no guarantee of pay or of good work, but he was doing what he wanted to do.
Right.
What happened to him?
I think that's, I mean, I really don't know what happened to him, but I remember thinking that I went in, I looked for a place I could fit in the market and what the market needed.
Yeah.
So that's what I did.
And it wasn't what you wanted to do, but you did
and
it
And then
anyway.
I realized this friend of mine who actually just did what he was going to do.
Yeah.
And eventually, by showing his stuff enough and long enough, having the patience to wait, they would hire him for what he did.
See, that's nice.
But I got hired. I got hired for what I did in the past, and that's how I got into Food Mart because I did more food.
Mm-hmm.
So I just got to be known as the food expert.
Yeah.
I didn't have to show my portfolio anymore.
Mm-hmm. They just like
they just assumed that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I got. And the style that they wanted was the style that I could do, but it wasn't necessarily what I wanted to do.
So because
it got more boring for me.
Yeah, did you burn out because of that?
Yeah, I burned out. But he constantly found it interesting because he was doing what already he wanted to do. And eventually the people saw that as value.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that's a nice message, right? I mean, you know, continue to do what you want to do.
Be persistent and get extremely lucky and you can have success.
Persistent.
No, it's just being,
it's not
being honest.
Lucky.
Yeah.
It's a persistence.
Be persistent while you do.
Yeah.
Get struck by lightning with luck and you will have success.
I don't think
you should write a book with that title.
Yeah.
struck by lightning.
Yeah. No, be persistent. Get struck by lightning in what you do
and
then you have success by Brian Gerard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Brian Gerard story.
There'll be book burnings all over America.
From the same guy who wrote Who Moved My Cheese? And then got struck by lightning.
But acting is that way. Acting is about who you are.
Oh, let's not talk about what acting is.
Why not? Why don't you want to talk about it?
What is it really? What is
Go
acting?
Ahead, Carl. What do you think?
Because now here you are, an actor. Now going through all these experiences.
Now you're working as an actor.
You're a working actor.
It's a shock to me.
Yeah, you got struck by lightning. You read Brian's book.
Yes, I got struck by lightning. Yeah.
Did you want me? Yes. You have a signed copy of my book.
I think I got struck by lightning. I think I lived with the person in the business. So eventually it wasn't scary and I was on so many sets. Yeah. But I still, so I got used to the environment. I just didn't know how to do it. I mean, the actual doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the environment was not scary to me.
So what are you doing now? What happens? What, like, what's your day like now? How do you spend your days?
First I get up and I'm glad I'm up. And then I go, okay. Actually, in the last 6 months, it's been like, my priority is to get the things done that I need for the day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And then if I have more time, I do things for the future.
Yeah.
Are you working on projects and stuff? You're working on different projects right now? Any like?
Yeah, but I'm like 10 years behind, so.
Oh, wow. Oh, because, you're getting into Photoshop now. Like those kind of projects, you mean? Or you mean like acting projects?
No, I mean
projects,
life. Just life. Like cleaning the back. Cleaning the back where I kept all these things thinking I'm going to use it.
Right.
And now I'm this old and I know I'm never going to go back to it.
Right.
So I want to get rid of it.
Gotcha.
Just trying to clean up your life because finally, you know, when you're this old, you see the end.
Oh, God. No.
You're never going to die.
No.
Well, wait. Carl, this is good. You see the end. Okay. Yeah. What does the end look like?
What does the end look like?
That's an interesting question. Wow. I don't think I've pondered it that much.
Damn it, Brian.
But I tell you what, you know, I hope I go happy.
Yeah.
That's all I hope.
That's all you can hope, isn't it?
That's very
true. Yeah, I think so.
What's the point of life, Carl? Not to put any pressure on you, but what the fuck are we doing here? And please help me.
I think the point of life is to be happy every day.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
Be happy every day.
And have something to look forward to. Yeah. Hope and happiness.
And if you're not happy?
End it now? No.
No, but like if you're, like there are people out there that are really not happy.
It's that.
What about that? You know, I don't know what that's like because I've been happy a long time.
Yep. Do you ever have unhappy times in your life?
Oh, yeah. There's times where, you know, situations could be better for sure.
Yeah.
But it always to me, in my mind, it seems temporary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How much pressure does money play in happiness?
That's a good question. But.
They're okay.
Yeah,
but
blew the intro. But
money is something that I really didn't think about except for necessity. Yeah. I never worried about amassing money.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Gotcha.
Says he who swims in his built-in swimming pool every morning.
That's just fortunate.
And that came from how long? I mean, you didn't have that swimming pool for years and years and years.
The hardest thing was... my partner and I both were freelancing because he was acting and I was doing artwork.
Yeah.
So we both never had a steady job.
Exactly.
So you just hope and you hope you have fun doing it while you're doing it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, you are the poster child for somebody who was able to do that, able to continue to do what they wanted to do and still be practical and successful and happy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's great.
Yeah, I think so.
It's a very scary world. I mean, I think for all of us here who do freelance work, who are hired one day and fired the next.
Fired at the end of the day.
You're hired and fired on the same day.
Yeah. Sometimes after an hour, right? I mean, because that's it. You did your job and you're done, and now you got to go find work again. It's a constant struggle. It's a constant fear.
Yeah, my partner in life is a real positive guy.
Which is good. Yeah.
And I think that's been my guy because I think I'm more of a warrior. I think I'm more of a practical person.
Yeah.
And he's charismatic, so he makes it seem like it's silly.
Mm.
It's just to enjoy yourself, and I think that carried me through it.
Yeah.
And also, you know, as an actor, when you actually do get paid, you get paid quite a lot.
No doubt. Yeah.
As a commercial artist, you don't.
Right. Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I mean, you don't get like...
it's not acting money.
No.
Yeah.
It's not like, unless you have a famous character, there's no licensing. You do a job, every job is a buyout.
Right.
Oh, wow.
But But now you're experiencing some residuals.
Yeah,
like
with I love acting. That.
Yeah, right? Isn't that the best?
That's the best.
Where that money just comes into your mailbox?
Yeah.
Hello.
That's a way to make you happy.
And you're like, I did do that job a year ago. That yeah. 1 hour of work
right,
that's
right.
still paying.
That I got fired on, mm-hmm. but then, you know.
Oh boy, I'm still getting checks in my mailbox.
Yeah, yeah.
I know people.
But that doesn't happen for everyone.
Rag on SAG, and I don't know, but, you know, for coming from being an artist, visual artist, they don't have any of that.
SAG is Screen
I love skill. SAG. I don't rag on SAG. I brag on SAG. That's what I'm saying.
Same here.
You guys, have medical?
Yeah, man.
I mean, there's an illustrated
pension.
Shield,
we got a pension,
yeah,
man.
You guys get all of that stuff. A lot of artists do not.
Yeah. The Screen Actors Guild is a very, very awesome thing.
And they're going through some exciting changes.
Yeah. Moving into the new century.
Moving
Carl Nakamura.
Thank you, Carl.
Thank you
again.
Carl Nakamura. Always a pleasure.
Don't blow the outro here.
Thank you, Carl Nakamura. On behalf of Robert Scheid and Gregory Hoyt.
Yes.
My name is Brian Gerard.
It is?
We are the Scheid
Show.
Yay!
Gross.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry. Be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy.